Muhammad Yunus, and this is the Gallup Podcast. This week, we explore the future of showing up at the office and how leaders are grappling with managing their teams in this new dispersed workplace. Jim Clifton is chairman and CEO of Gallup. Jim, it's great to have you back on the podcast.
Always a pleasure, Muhammad.
You recently penned a piece, Jim, on what the workplace will look like in terms of office attendance in this post-COVID future that we're all aspiring to achieve and reach. What did you find out?
Well, one of the things, Muhammad, when I'm with other, I'll refer to people my age as senior executives and old CEOs, and boy, when you bring up the conversation, are they coming back or not? You can't get the conversation to end. That's because we're all wondering about it. But I assigned some really good advanced statisticians and behavioral economist types in Gallup's R&D. I said, I want you to think of yourself as bookies and give me the over-unders on how many people are coming back. And I said, go back and close the doors and work and don't come out until you got it. It depends. None of that. Want a number.
So you've really forced them to give you a hard sort of forecast on the future of how many people are coming back.
Yeah. Man, it was really fun, Muhammad, because, they got a lot of fun facts that are real basic things you think everybody would know. But one of them is that there's 125 million full-time workers in America. And then if you say to them, can you do your job at home? 55% of them say, yeah, I can do my job fully at home. I trust their number more than the ones I see in the Wall Street Journal because they tend to go by industry types. They'll say, well, construction jobs, those are all there. No. If you take a big construction company, they'll have 500 people in bookkeeping and they can all do it at home. So the way my team did it was they said, can you do your job at home? That's 55. Let's just call it half. So you get around 60 to 65 million people that can do it at home. So then they ask them, okay, if you people that can do it at home, how many of you want to stay home every single day? The answer is 30% of them. So 30% want to never come in again.
Never. Home every day.
And then we said, how many of you want to come in every day because you like the whatever? That answer is 10%. And then we asked the remaining 60%, and they said kind of 1.5 to 2.5 days, something like that.
So folks, the 60% want some kind of mix between coming in and working from home.
But definitely, Muhammad, toward the 5-day type. Executives want them to come in more like 3.5 to 4 times, something like that. So we said to the people that want to stay home 5 days a week and come in, let's just say 2 days a week. Why do you feel that way? The number one reason is this simple: my commute.
Wow. It's that direct.
That clear. Number two is better for my well-being. Number three, and there is no number four, number three is it works better for my family.
Wait, Jim, I want to stop you here because it's funny for me to have this conversation with you because we're talking about managers and people coming to the office, and you're my boss and we work in the same office. I know just from my own experience driving through, there's this overpass by my neighborhood. And when I go get lunch, when I'm working from home, I see this huge line of red brake lights that I drive over. It's the freeway. It's crushing when you look at it from a top like that. I often think about this question when I drive over that road and think about you, because we've worked together for a long time and this has been a huge shift for all of us. People can't see us now, but actually, Jim, you're in the office and I'm at home, which is a pretty different dynamic really than what we used to have just a few years back. I want to ask you, Jim, what has it been like for you leading teams in this new kind of digital world? What's been the hardest part for you as a CEO?
I think the thing that happened that I didn't see coming is COVID forced us to get good at using Zoom or Teams. Almost like, imagine you and I trying to learn Japanese we're not going to do it, but what about if something phenomenon came in where the only way we could work is if we learned Japanese? You and I'd learn it pretty darn fast. That's what happened. That's what happened with Zoom. But what I've learned is that, like you and me just doing this, we don't lose much not being in person. Muhammad, maybe nothing.
Well, let me ask you, why do you think that's the case?
Because I think there are little things like if you and I don't know each other, we can't feel one another. In my job as CEO of a global consulting firm, you always are having Zooms with people you don't know because I'm asked to. We open a door here. We go get to know this. We have a new client. We don't know the chairman. It's, well, you get to know him, whatever. When you have a first meeting, there's little things like this one. Humor doesn't work on Zoom.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. If humor doesn't work, what other emotions don't work? But so where I really notice it, Mohammed, is when I'm meeting somebody via Zoom, it doesn't work. I mean, it doesn't work as much as trying to teach first and second graders how to read, write, and do math on Zoom. They work almost zero. But the thing is, internal meetings, they work pretty. But see, you and I don't need any warm-up time.
Yeah, exactly. It's like when you know the person, you can overcome the digital divide, I think, so much easier.
Yeah.
And effortlessly.
You can get wound up. You and I were getting wound up before your show started about, we were talking about the college football, and I could feel your emotion. I could feel your producer's interest in it and all of that kind. But that's because I know you both, which has interesting implications, not only to how many people are coming into the office, but it also does intercompany meetings. I mean, man, those things are gone. You know, when you get on a plane now that's really full, there aren't business people on there. They're 85% full compared to where they were in 2019, but also fares are off almost a third. So you get all kinds of people that can head to the beach or go see grandma, go to the Ozarks or Estes Park or the mountainside or whatever, but it's changing a lot.
What advice, Jim, are you giving leaders as we all grapple with the reality that really the old way is not coming back? You talk to leaders from many, many different industries pretty regularly, and I know you've been leaning into that really since the lockdown. What is the best advice you're giving people these days?
Well, I watch pretty closely J.P. Morgan Chase, Jamie Dimon, somebody everybody watches, and he basically told the employees to shut up and get back to work. Everybody come in. I noticed that IBM, I know one of the leaders over there, but they said, well, I moved during COVID. I moved out of ways and I can't drive in. They go, well, then move again or you're fired. Now, I kind of admire strong leadership like that, but the logic is terrible. You know why? Because what you're up against is my commute, my well-being, and my family. You shake those up in one martini mix, and I'd say good luck to the tough guys at IBM and JP Morgan Chase. I like your attitude, but I'm going to bet against it. So what I tell them is that you got to figure out hybrid, and you got to figure out what works. And for you and I to meet this way, you don't need to come in. I don't know what else you're doing today, but for this meeting, do this. And it makes your life better. I believe it's going to make this interview better. I believe you're going to have more fun at your job as our editor in chief. And I also think that you might be able to talk to more people today. If they're people you've never met before, maybe it works on a show, but most of your business isn't doing a show, but where you can have a hell of a bunch of contacts. You and I live in a big city. If you live in one of the 25 biggest cities, commute's a big part of your day. And if there's a little drizzle or something, it takes all the fun out of work. It's just, but you don't command people through that, because they'll come in, but they're going to have less fun than ever. But the prediction team said that of the people that were, if you think of a big building in New York, and in 2019, you got to do a weekly cum, because in these big cities, people weren't really coming in on Fridays anyway. But what's the cum for the number of people that were in a week in 2019 before COVID? And then I want to know, in that same building, when we kind of have everything, we'll be there. And they said 37% of desks, cubicles, or chairs will be vacant. That's either got to be an enemy of you as a leader, but I'd recommend you make it a friend. And you figure out, let's take you, Mohammed, you figure out what work can you do from home that makes you more productive and makes your life experience better. Because if you and I sit down, I can help you figure that out. I'm 100% confident, but how are you going to use the building? I think the building becomes an event center for you, and I think it becomes a collaboration center for you. Because if you got something really hard you want to work on with me, you need to come and draw it on a board for me.
And it's fascinating that you mentioned that, Jim, because in many cases, those are often our most interesting, engaging, insightful meetings. It's when we're really brainstorming in a room full of people and getting those best ideas out there, challenging each other's thoughts. And it's such a different reality now. When we're not able to do that, how are you able to work in the coaching part of being a manager? how are you able to manage the fact that you have teams that are dealing with very high risk situations, difficult clients? How do you know when to lean in as a leader in this more dispersed world?
I think that this world is so far away from micromanaging. I think that we're the opposite. I think we don't manage at all. Too many of these teams, you know, when I go to our clients, hell, they don't have a problem of being too bossy or anything. They have a problem not talking at all. They're administrative managers. They run the damn things with spreadsheets. It's maddening. It's maddening to watch. But I asked our chief scientist, and the stuff coming that he and his teams are coming up with, both, but I said to him, tell me what management is. Define it for me. I don't want words. You got to do it with math. And he said, it's one meaningful conversation per week. Well, why didn't you tell me that 50 years ago? But that means
that's the most distinguishing variable.
You don't need two, but have one good one. And I kind of surprised him. I said, what should it be about? And he says, talk to them about their goals. Talk to them about their ideas. And he says, you can always build a strategy around, you know, about how you're going to hit your goals and what can you do better. But he said, if you have one a week, he said, you're just way, you're like, you're like in the one percentile of managers. But here's the positive, Mohammed. You can have more of them by Zoom than you can calling them into your office. Another thing, too, is that this is such a bad number that we came up with. But, you know, most Americans don't like their bosses. Well, and at least you want to take something off that. You could say they don't like spending time with their bosses. And America is the best country for that. God, you go to China or Japan and stuff. In China, employees literally hate their bosses. But just check in once a week. And remember, it doesn't even have to be on Zoom. It can be on email and all that. But you should have some Zoom time. But Zoom and Teams makes it so much easier. I do think there's a big benefit there. And it doesn't have to be an hour or 2 hours. I mean, it can even be 10 minutes. I can say, Mohammed, I heard that you interviewed Zakaria the other day. How did that go? Did he stay pretty neutral or did you feel, you know, and you tell me about it and all that. And I said, how'd you keep him on track? Blah, blah, blah. And then I go, see you later. But you can see I was really interested in how that thing went. I think we could actually manage better with the blend than the other way. But I think there's a responsibility for you. If I say here in our Washington, D.C. office, I'm having a reception for a bunch of kids from Georgetown and GW that are master's students, we want to recruit some of them and all of that. I would hope on your own you would know that I need you here. But see, that's an event.
And it's fascinating that you say it that way, Jim. I would hope that on your own you know that I need you here. Because so much of performance really is knowing those moments, right? So much of being a star employee or star manager, anything, is really having a feel for when do I really need to be there? When is it okay for me to step away a little bit? When is it absolutely not okay for me to be, you know, not at the wheel? It's more now on the employee, really, to figure out that balance for themselves. Whereas before, it wasn't hard because we were all down the hall. If we need to be in a room for an event, we just send an email, say, hey, folks, come down for the event. Is there more responsibility now on me as an employee to find that balance?
There is, but I think that's where I think coaching, having a good manager helps. Because why I think that IBM and JP Morgan Chase and some other companies better be careful what they wish for. I am not a believer that you should just let people go out and do whatever they want. Because I used to chair this group of super psychologists, and it was so interesting to me what they'd get off on. But one of the things they said is, why did leadership ever evolve? You know, man and woman been on Earth about 200,000 years. Why did it even evolve as a thing, leadership? There's only one reason. Because people left to make their own choices, make choices that aren't very good. I'm talking about good leadership. Because good leadership will help you make choices that cause you to develop more and do things, even though uncomfortable, that are good for you. So I don't think we should have anybody can do whatever they want. I think you got to sit down with each individual and figure out how they can be most productive and exceed goals. But I think if we do that, I think we can emerge. I think if we don't, I think I'm open to the fact that all of America may go part-time. We'll be paying them full-time, but they're actually working part-time. And if anybody hadn't considered that, they're high on something. Yeah, we got to write down honestly what we see and then manage better.
And also think about our business and our customers, right? No matter what you do, whether you're a professor at a university or you run a consulting firm, in the end, why am I here? And what do I create and who buys that or who needs it? And can I still do that in this new reality? Jim, one of the things I've always admired about you and love working with you for is your kind of futuristic viewpoint. You really lead with that strength.
I think I told him 2023, the exact over-under was 37% of people that can work at home, which is half the full-time workforce, will not be there.
Okay, my final question, and I always love to ask impossible questions. Is that percent building emptier across cities in the developed economy, economic world at least, is that a more or less productive economy?
I think without management really stepping up, I would bet everything I have less productive. I'd bet all my Gallup stock, I bet my car, my house, there's no question it's less productive unless leadership and management thinks their way through it. And if they do, I believe it could be a more positive way to work. And Gallup will figure that out, by the way.
There couldn't be a better note for me to end on. That's Jim Clifton, Chairman and CEO of Gallup. Jim, thanks for being with us.
Okay, man. See you later.
That's our show. Thank you for tuning in. To subscribe and stay up to date with our latest conversations, just search for the Gallup Podcast wherever you podcast. And for more key findings from Gallup News, go to news.gallup.com or follow us on Twitter at Gallup News. If you have suggestions for the show, email podcast@gallup.com. The Gallup Podcast is directed by Curtis Grubb and produced by Justin McCarthy. I'm Muhammad Yunus, and this is Gallup, reporting on the will of the people since the 1930s.